It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot. The Russian royal family has been deposed. And it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express. Hello and welcome to episode 80 of The Cult of Tea and Dice, and episode 1 of The Doom Train? Yeah, episode 1 of The Doom Train, because we were doing Blood Red Fez previous. I forgot what we were going to do. Oh yes, that's what I was going to do. Firstly, I am Mordrigan, I will be your GM for tonight. Who are you?
I'm Hardwick, and I shall be...
Playing
Clarissa Click again.
Finally.
I'm Archive, and I'll be playing Fairy Terrence 5.
I'm Nyx, and I'm playing Izzy Allison.
Hey, Il Porcupino, introduce yourself.
I'm Il Porcupino, and I'm playing Oliver Oldstar.
She got slightly mangled there by Skype. Thanks, Skype.
Fuck you, Skype.
So anyway, very quick, what the fuck have you been doing in gaming? What the fuck have I been doing in gaming? More Final Fantasy, although my FC has comploded.
Oh no.
I think the FC is on its last legs. I'm still sort of in it, but well over half the people who were in it no longer are in it. We are doing Alexander though. I've also played a few games of Netrunner, but I'll let Archive explain those to you. Hardwick.
I've been ill, so I've done nothing in gaming.
Yeah.
I've been ill.
Hooray, fighting the plague.
Yeah.
Right. I've been playing Netrunner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say beyond that. I mean, we've played a few games. We've played, I think I've played 3 games now altogether.
Yeah.
Of Wayland versus...
Kate?
Okay.
Shaper Kate.
And so far I think we've concluded that Wayland is a bit rubbish because they've lost every single time.
Yeah, Core Wayland, not so much. Core Wayland really struggles.
We kept having the problem that Kate just gets broke.
Yeah,
happened.
They end up with no money and all the bad publicity.
They didn't have bad publicity when I played them, they just had no money.
Yeah, because you weren't running the hostile takeovers.
I don't think I had to. I think you got them all out of my hand before I could run those ones.
Oh, true. yeah, we are in the process of making a better Wayland deck, which will be all the meat damage, all the time.
Yay, Wayland are getting more hostile.
Nyx.
I have downloaded a mod for Skyrim where I can play as a snow elf. Like, the type that's pretty before they went gobbly to me. So yeah.
Fair enough.
Looks so pretty. She's like a high elf, but like, she's kind of really glowy. It's wonderful. And Climates of Tamriel, which is really, really pretty. And it sometimes lags when it rains, but unfortunately so far Skyrim has decided not to rain, so I can't check that. But it's very pretty, and I really like going around being a farmer.
Fair enough. Il Porcupino.
I haven't had time to do much gaming because I've been too busy learning about drugs.
Yay!
For my job.
Yeah, not just because she's become Walter White.
We could have done with you like the other week when we needed all this drug knowledge.
Oh,
all the drug knowledge. Yes. All the drug knowledge.
What have you guys been up to?
Well, speaking of what have you guys been up to, I believe it's time for them to tell you what it is that you've just learned by reading a book.
But first, we will talk about the tea.
Oh, good point, well made. We are currently drinking, whose is it?
Twinings.
Twinings Cherry Bakewell Tea. Do you wish to give us more information on it, as it is the tea you report?
It's a green tea. It's flavoured with, well, it's green? It's a green tea, yeah.
It's a green tea. Mm.
Flavoured with hints of cherry and almond and cherry bakewell-iness.
Yeah.
I think my problem with it is I'm getting too much of the almond.
It definitely tastes a bit marzipan.
I don't particularly mind that. I'm quite a fan of the cherry teas, which we've always said taste a bit like cherry bakewells. This one tastes a bit waxy to me. I don't know why, I'm getting sort of a waxy aftertaste and it's not terribly pleasant. It's an acceptable tea. It does taste like cherry bakewell on the way down,
mm-hmm.
but the aftertaste is kind of waxy.
Okay, fair enough. Is it a bit too, a bit too kind of processed?
Dunno. I really can't work it out. What's actually wrong with it? As I say, it might be almond, because I'm not used to having almond in my tea. It could be that.
Okay. I quite like it.
You know, when I think about it, I can sort of see what you mean, but not enough to really put me off. Mm. I can't taste the cherry so much. It's most sort of, it's marzipan-y, but not in an absolutely horrible way, which is good, because I don't really like marzipan, but this is okay. I like it. I probably wouldn't buy it, but I hope.
Okay.
Well, I don't like green teas or cherry teas, but I think this is absolutely amazing, and it's delicious.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. You were telling us about your tea, El Porcupino.
Yes, as I'm not in the room, I have had to brew up my own kettle, my own pot. I am drinking T2s, which is one of the newer ones that has appeared in London now. They're apple crumble, but I've mixed it with a drop of their Turkish Delight sweetened powder stuff, which is very, very interesting, because you can brew it as a normal tea, but it's more like a flavoured sugar, so it's very, very sweet and energising. And in with the apple crumble, it's absolutely delicious. It's really, really, really nice. Highly recommend it.
Good, good. Nick, can you do me a favour and turn her down a bit, because she's deafening me over here. Right to you. I don't know what she said there, but I'm sure it was riveting.
I'm not sure what she's doing with her cup.
I had a cup of tea and was like, I'll just put the rest of the pot into the cup and ran out of the cup before I ran out.
Always the way. So anyway, could somebody please recap to Il Porcupino what it is that she just read from the beginning? Ladies and gentlemen at home, this is going to be a recap of the Blood Red Bears.
Okay, I've got a cup of tea. I've briefed myself with chocolate and very good tea. How mad am I?
Unfortunately, bloodied was the one with the good notes.
Right, okay.
Can you read his handwriting?
Mine aren't awful either.
How about you start and then we'll chime in?
Okay, you have bloody notes as well.
Bloodied notes to go with the bloody press.
I think he's got the handouts in there as well.
Right.
I need to start snipping the handouts out. I think I've got a spare set of the handouts.
Well, it all began somehow. I can't remember how it actually began, but there was a man called Matthew Pook.
Pook. P-O-O-K.
And we had to go and see him, because someone told us to.
Smith.
Professor Smith told us
invited
to.
You to come help him with the fact that Matthew Pook had been found.
We all went to Derwent Street because we all were going to meet Professor Smith, who knew us all.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay.
Because we all knew Mitzi vaguely and stuff like that.
Well, yes. Very well. Yes. Matthew Pook, he was in his 20s and on the bed, but a fez was stuck to his head and sort of growing into his head. And it had all these weird hieroglyphs on it, and there were weird voices coming from under it. And he kind of looked much older and like he'd just wasted away. And we were sort of standing there going, well, what do we do with this man? And then he died, and the hat fell off, and he turned into this hideous, hideous thing with like a long, barbed tongue and a fleshy, hat-shaped head, and it attacked the doctor. But it's alright, we managed to bludgeon it off, and it died, and then the hat fell off its head.
The hat fell off its head when it turned into a horrific. As you point out.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But at that point, he was dead.
Oh, okay.
But we took the hat with us.
Yeah, we took the hat.
Because that was a good idea.
Probably can't leave it lying around. So we found out that he was working for Professor Demir, and he was keeping an eye on a man named Menkap.
Ah, Menkap.
Yeah.
We hardly wanted to be anywhere near you.
So, this was clearly very suspicious. From translating the hieroglyphs, you know, we got some information like rising from the past and dominion over all, which didn't sound remotely disconcerting. But we found out it could be destroyed in Constantinople. And someone called von Hoffler. Templar would meet us on the train, because he's in contact with Demir.
We also found an address in Shoreditch, and some note about the Whispering Fres would have more information, maybe enough to ...
Mm.
So, before we went to the train, we decided to go in various directions.
And then birds tweeted.
Birds suddenly appeared.
But in which direction? All directions.
There was a Fez collector murdered. But I believe somebody went to the library. It wasn't me, so I don't have notes on that bit.
No, that might be the translations on hieroglyphs bit, maybe. I don't know.
I would think so. It definitely wasn't George. He wasn't into all that book stuff.
I actually think the Turkish person that El Porcupino was playing may have been part of that. Anyway, the rest of us went on a tour of London to Shoreditch with the address that we found, which George identified as a hole for a criminal, kind of like a safe house. And it had notes to a bit of stuff about Dear Menkaup in regards to the issue and much ... We went to Rotherhithe, to a one-bedroom cottage that a constable was guarding, that we managed to get in by telling him we were sightseers. And we took a letter that said that somebody had bought the Whispering Fez 2 weeks ago, and we nabbed that in a ledger. And then we appear to have gone to Lambeth to grab a journal.
Okay. Well, I've got it written that the Whispering Fez was stolen, and then nothing until we're on the train.
I think the Whispering Fez was bought by somebody and then stolen. Or something.
Possibly.
Anyway, it ended up somewhere.
Yeah. We couldn't find it.
This is a very, very good recap.
We are wonderful at this.
Yeah, you read this book very carefully.
It was a bit of a battered book, I think we should say that. Yes.
Battered. Yeah. So anyway, we got on the train, and a man followed us onto the train and spoke to Menkaup. Menkaup was on the train and said something about Henri. Peggy. More than one Fez. And we only have one and they're watching us. And I, Henri! We should probably carry on before we need a recap of the recap.
Yeah.
Where were we?
We just got on a train.
Yeah, you just got on the train.
Really well.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
She's just panicking that she's disappeared now. Please continue.
Here. Henri!
Henri!
Bonjour!
Aww.
He was a porter. What was he like?
Very thin and dark.
Right. So we're on the train with our very thin and dark porter.
We had some time working out which compartments we were in.
Yeah, it was very important that we knew who was going to bonk with who.
Will you bonk with him or with the other man?
And then we went to sleep.
Did we have dinner first? That was important, surely.
I haven't noted if we did. What have you got?
So Menkaup was on the train.
Yes, I mentioned that before.
And Menkaup is a well-dressed gentleman in a suit.
Plainish man with tall opera cloak man. So he pencil. Was a plainish man with opera cloak man.
Yes.
Opera cloak man being Menkaup.
With pencil, moustache, top hat, I've just been to the opera type look.
He was full-on evil bad guy.
He was.
Is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So did we have dinner?
Let's say yes. I'm sure we did.
I don't have anything else until the night time.
I know you had a very special dinner at one point. Was that breakfast?
That was breakfast. Yes. We had very exciting breakfast.
I didn't have any breakfast. And at midnight there was whistling in the corridor.
There was a horrible shadowy creature scratching at the door.
The people with the fez in their compartment heard this. Because I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was with Never Good Enough.
It shrieked when the light touched it and skidded into cabin number 6. Oh no!
Oh yes, this is the breakfast of champions.
Yeah, Mrs. Myers was sobbing in cabin number 6. She has an ill husband, and Kapok, who spends a lot of time with Menkaup, was also there.
She's gonna have more to sob about soon.
So, Henri had breakfast with Menkaup, who was very obnoxious and boasting about how we'd all lose. And Henri just sort of went along with this, and...
Very politely,
mostly convincing him he was a blathering fool, because that's what Henri does best.
There was a Scottish lady with the missing Armenians.
Armenians?
Mrs. McGregor.
Who you didn't decide to sit with at breakfast.
No, Henri had the choice between Mrs. McGregor or Menkaup, and decided he'd rather sit with the scary, evil man in the opera cloak than the Scottish. So yeah, you were sharing cabin with Neville Goodenough. Captain Neville never good enough. A young engineer posted to South America and travelling by Constantinople. South Africa, whatever. I can't read.
We were in apartment number three.
Yes.
And then there was McGregor and the Russian lady maid. Then there was the Russian servant and Kapok. Then there was Mr. and Mrs. Myers. Menkat, the Russian count, the Russian countess, and the other Russian gentleman.
Yes. Hello.
We now have Ilko Porcupino back again. I love Skype. Continue.
Lunchtime.
Lunchtime, which I totally didn't realise was the same day. But it was the same day. So
I was on guard with affairs.
Henry went to lunch and had another lovely, lovely chat with Menkat, mostly convincing him he was a blithering idiot.
And George and the doctor went to cabin number six.
George. Yeah, there was some suspicious noises going on in there. So we went down there, a bit stealthy-like, maybe. And inside, it was all dark and the curtains were pulled shut. And there was a strange, shadowy creature after we went in.
So, visiting cabin number six.
Yes, so we're in cabin number six. George and the doctor and... there was a, strange shadowy creature. And
that's it.
Okay. So what we decided to do was try and open the windows, get in some light. I'm sure that's
it. Yeah, because the shadowy creature was about to murderize you.
Yeah, he was about to suck our souls or whatever it was. So I believe I slashed at the blinds to pull them down. The monster made a horrible eeking sound and disappeared.
I don't think it was an eeking sound. I remember the effects I layered over that.
Yes, it was a
good
effect.
And it was pretty bad to begin with.
Yeah, but I'm not going to attempt to make the sound.
It does take some doing.
Yes.
And I can tell I've made it the day after too.
Yes. And I've got tonsillitis, so I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
So anyway, once we got some light in the room, we found Mr. Myers on the bed, in the same state as we found Mr. Pook, with a fez on his head. He wasn't quite to the same elderly decay, but he was getting there. Also, we had a quick look around the room. There was a book that was in a foreign language, which included hieroglyphs and other strange languages that we couldn't understand. So we took that with us. The doctor tried to remove the fez from Mr. Myers' head with a scalpel, but that didn't work. It was, according to the doctor, literally growing into his head. So the best way round not creating another hideous monster with a barbed tongue that was going to attack us and possibly kill us was to get in there first.
You can't see this at home, but I am face-palming oh so hard.
So the doctor went to his, back to his medicine bag and made up a specific overdose of morphine, which he then cunningly injected into Mr. Myers between his toes.
Killing him stone dead, just in case anybody's wondering.
Yes, I don't think it was... Well, it would have been painless, I suppose. But it's much better than having some crazy monster running about. Definitely.
And we'd established it was a hopeless case. There was nothing else
exactly.
To do for him.
You couldn't take it off. You couldn't... There wasn't anything else to do. So...
So you returned to us with a fez and a book.
So we now have another fez and a book in some
making
foreign...
Making two fezes.
Yeah, two fezes. And a book which we assume is about the fez, but we can't read it.
Because it's in Persian. And incidentally, we found out nobody in the actual adventure could read it either. But never mind.
At this point, I've just remembered that our cover story for not everybody going to breakfast and lunch was that Kazim Polat was ill from a drug overdose, which we... Vasilimituded by drug overdose.
And George as well.
No, George was later.
Oh yes, George was later.
I was...
You joined
I wasn't feeling well.
Yes.
But I wasn't quite at the drug overdose stage.
But because Paulette was the only person that would have a chance at reading the book, we then had to drug him the opposite way.
To wake him up.
So we could read it.
Yes.
However, Mencaps wasn't very happy about any of these events and demanded a police check of our cabin. Because he was like, ah, you have murdered people and stolen things. Wasn't he?
Yes, I believe he came to our cabin and...
He, in fact, deliberately accused Henry Terrence Smythe, and he'd been at lunch with him the entire time, and not at all talking his favourite person, Capok, out of going to go and look at things by being slightly threatening.
No, of course not.
Talking to Mrs. Myers at exactly the wrong time. But no. Clearly wasn't involved at all. But you don't expect these evil doers to be rational, do you? So anyway.
So we stopped at the station in
Vienna.
Where we had to wake George up. George decided he had... George ended up being drugged sort of rather a lot. But he also had to hide things.
Yeah,
like the stuff we'd stolen.
So the extra fez that we had and the book.
And the other fez. And the notes on the book that had been made.
And anything that Mencap might possibly want.
And any weapons we shouldn't really have.
We hid in the lining of the carriage of our compartment, which we managed to replace so no one noticed, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then George wasn't feeling so good after that.
Well, we had to explain why he wasn't at lunch as well.
Yeah, so we obviously had to actually physically overdose rather than just pretend.
Mm. And clearly the doctor wasn't there because he was looking after these overdosed patients.
Yes.
And obviously the soldier had to be there to go to make sure they didn't escape.
Or go mental.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Okay.
Then yes. Henry went to lunch.
So Henriette, all the meals for us.
I'd like to say that Horror on the Orient Express is a dangerous game involving much horror and struggles. But frankly, from all of the playthroughs I've ever listened to, it involves a lot of going to lunch.
We haven't even got to the Carry On Cthulhu bits.
Oh gods.
Well, apparently, from what I know, dealt with Mencap by just pushing him out the window quite early on. The train was going at top speed.
Baron von Hoffler jumped on the train after we'd been cleared of stealing by the police.
Yes, he was pale and skinny and slightly dishevelled.
And very obsessed.
Yes, he immediately took the book from us and began reading it.
Henry had to very firmly, whilst being incredibly polite, persuade him to actually continue writing notes for us.
Yes, but he didn't quite seem to understand that murdering wasn't necessarily what we were best at.
He did keep saying, well, just go and kill the other two. And it'll be fine. Continue.
I believe there was also a Chinese lady who had also come up to the train at this point and kept going back and forth to the bathrooms.
We kept finding her whenever we opened our door. People would walk into her.
Yes, especially because we kept doing look. Oh gosh, we kept doing lookouts and leaving people, one person in there with their.
Yes, they kept leaving just one person in the room with. Baron von Hoffler.
Baron von Hoffler kept staring at them and not doing much. Until Henry was the first
one
there.
Before that, when we'd been wandering up and down, Henry had overheard Mencap giving Capok orders about fezzes tonight, midnight, and bodies off the train. Which sounded rather ominous.
Really? Ominous, you say? You fucking thought it.
So yes, that's why we were out guarding and things.
Yeah.
Because we were guarding. Anyway, so Henry was left, in the room with von Hoffler, who thought there was a wasp.
Yes.
Would you like to explain the waspiness?
Well,
somebody has to, because it's funny.
You see, Henry was just quite happily minding his own business, reading these notes that von Hoffler had made. So he was just sitting, reading, didn't really notice when von Hoffler tried to cast a spell at him. Then he didn't really notice when von Hoffler got up and raised his stick at him. He did notice the swish through the air nearby and sort of looked up to wonder what was going on. Von Hoffler explained there'd been a wasp. Henry believed him, and went back to his reading. He then noticed Von Hoffler get up again with his stick and was, well, I say, dear fellow, what exactly are you doing here? I don't think there is a wasp, you know. Perhaps we should get on with our work. And completely failed to realise that Von Hoffler had in fact been trying to knock him out and just believed he was a bit deluded. At which point von Hoffler tried casting his spell again, it actually worked this time, and Henry fell asleep. He woke up with a fez on his head.
Oh no.
Yes. Since he was still under a level of persuasion. He let von Hofler just enter his mind and sit through it and get an idea of what it was like to wear the fez. Then people came back and we got told about what the fez actually is, because von Hofler he'd read the book and he'd experienced it and he found all this out. So you could tell us it was an interdimensional representation of an item from beyond our space and time, which can spawn more after you've mastered the fez by sacrificing a small part of your own or someone else's soul. You can assert yourself as master of wearing the fez, but if left uncontrolled, it destroys the wearer, and the thing that's left can then be controlled by a fez wearer. And apparently, if the blood of a prince is presented, the fez may call forth a thing from outside. That's the notes I have on that.
So he basically told you, you either had to overpower Venkat's fezziness, or he would do you.
Pretty much, yes.
But the rituals to do this were in part of the book he hadn't quite got to yet.
Basically all the hieroglyphs that he had to translate.
Technically nobody in the adventure could translate, but moving on.
Yeah, I adjusted the adventure at this point when I realised that, okay, so what you're saying is, everyone dies. Please continue.
So.
Oh, right. So then, didn't the Doctor and von Hofler go to the other carriage?
Yes, von Hofler decided he'd rather, you know, not sit in the stuffy room any longer after all the translating.
He needed a drink and to escape from the train.
Yes, he did try to escape from the train.
So he goes to
the salon. Escape from the train.
Gets the Doctor to order him a drink, and then we were in the station at the time with a 20-minute delay. He buggers off the train and runs away!
So the Doctor goes chasing after him, but not quite fast enough.
However, the Chinese lady is very speedy.
Meow.
And also went chasing after him.
With chloroform. And sort of chloroformed Baron von Hofler. At which point, the Doctor, who was doing so badly with his rolls, he spent about 30 luck, ended up hitching a lift on a bus to catch up.
Yeah. He got, I think that whole session he got through 45 luck points.
So then the Chinese lady was suddenly not Chinese. She whipped her makeup off, took her hair off, and was Baron von Hofler's daughter, who wanted to take him to go see Freud.
Because he was very, very sick, as Henry, who is now wearing a hat, could attest to.
However, the Doctor said, no, you must come back to the train, because he must help our friend. So we took them back to the train. And then we told Elsa that we do need his help. Quick, touch this fez and try and take it off Henry's head, because we're intelligent like that.
Yeah,
but she
inflicting sanity loss on NPCs is funny as fuck.
She was fine.
She nearly threw up on your face.
Fine.
So, but
unfortunately, he didn't really come round in time to be of much help before the door was...
Because it was suddenly midnight, we'd so much have forgotten about this small fact.
Apparently we have remembered enough, though, that we remembered to get the weapons out ready.
Yes.
So that was something. There was a little bit of fighting ensued.
As Kapok and men with big knives came in.
Yes.
Because they were determined to get the fez and the book. And they were very stabby.
Yes. Slashy. The Doctor's throat was slashed. I've got it written down.
Oh yes, the Doctor kind of got his throat slit.
Yeah.
Well, stabbed clean through is more the actual result.
Oh, okay.
Much blood.
Yes. There's much guns. Much blood, much guns. Henry was rather disappointed that his initial, like, attempts of warding them off by picking up the gun and holding it shakily towards them and trying to, you know, hope they'd get the hint didn't work. But nevertheless, it carried on, we thought, and Kapok ran away, and the others died. Well.
Didn't the train come to a stop?
Yeah, the train came
Someone
to a stop.
Someone pulled the chain.
We were in the middle of a forest at this time. And then Henry gets a bit shriveled.
Yeah, because Kapok and Menkap had sort of run off, and Henry fell over and started wrinkling and degenerating. And
sort of being taken over by another fez wearer.
Yes, I can't think who that could have been. But it's okay, because von Hofler had come round at this point and used a spell to stop the effect.
Slow the effect, technically.
I think he just paused it.
Yeah.
Yep, so he paused it temporarily.
Oh goodness! Henri had come along with a shotgun.
Yes!
And shot one of the
and
guys.
And then fainted at the sight of blood.
And then fainted.
There was terrible commotion in the corridor.
Anyway, so Henry and Von Hoff are in the compartment, and Bart, George, and Polnat, who woke up going, what the heck? All charged off out of the train after Mencap.
Into the forest, in about 3 foot of snow.
It was a well thought out plan.
Yep. Well, so we could see there where they'd gone from the tracks, and they also had a lantern.
So George got into a sneaky closer position.
Yep.
And Paulette and I hung back, being not of the sneaky types.
George is not so good at the shooting business, and kind of aimed at
he's
men.
He's not any good at the shooting business.
No, no. Aimed at men cat, but doesn't really do a lot.
The
other
anything.
Person who was there was Mrs. Myers
with the fez. Because Mencap was trying to draw strength from her as well.
She was all shrivelly.
Anyway, so we all charged into battle.
Yeah.
Kapok and Mencap did get killed.
Well, hooray. Technically Kapok got killed and Mencap got knocked unconscious up until someone put their gun against his head and pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
I think that was Polat, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. I believe it was.
And then Mrs. Myers
went all tongue Barbie and
did a Matthew Pook, yeah.
Yes. Basically. She did a Pook.
Yes.
So I screamed, bash it. So we all started...
We all grabbed, like,
tree trunks
and
branches
and all sorts of things, and people were all on fire and...
Smashy smashy.
Yes. And we left them in the forest randomly, some hideous burning dead body, and a couple of people have been shot. We got back on the train.
And Henry?
Yeah, in the meantime, Henry basically had a... Well, Von Hoffler spoke to Henry and basically taught him the ritual to destroy the Fez. So he did this, and he saw, and it was horrible. He knew what he was doing, and it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fez melted and ran down his face, staining him red.
Hence why the turban.
Yeah.
Because he's terrified of hats.
He's very scared of hats now. Hats are not okay.
And has horrible burgundy stains all down his face from a melting psychotic hat.
Yes.
He threw my pith helmet out of the window.
And he saw what horrible things lie beyond. But it's okay, he can still call after if he needs to.
Yeah, because that makes it better. Anyway.
It makes everything better.
Recap completed. Please note, this is likely to be a short session because although to you it's probably sounded pretty seamless, we've had quite a lot of technical issues. You are all on a train to Stoke Newington. Please recap why the hell you're on a train to Stoke Newington. In fact, I believe Stoke Newington's the next stop.
I believe it is.
Would it help if we all said who we were again?
Yes.
As a helpful reminder of who was on this train, not being like Henry.
Mr. Blooded is technically here, but he isn't here, because Mr. Blooded himself is not here.
Wolfstache is sort of in the corner, being...
mumbling to himself, probably.
Yes.
Or potentially holding a conversation with himself.
Hmm.
He does seem to do that a lot.
I believe Mr. Oldstaff is in the middle of looking at his diary.
Yes, he's been reading this diary and can tell us exactly what's in it.
Hey, Mr. Oldstaff.
Yeah?
I believe you gain... a four Cthulhu mythos.
Cool.
And someone needs to roll me a
d6. A d6?
Yes.
Three.
You also lose 3 sanity.
So what was that? How much Cthulhu mythos?
4.
And I lose 3 sanity.
That's what you get from reading. Yeah.
Technically speaking, you also learn a whole load of spells to do with an artifact that no longer exists. Someone want to make me an intelligence check for old stuff?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, you've learnt a load of spells to do with the Blood Red Fez. None of them have any use any longer, because the Blood Red Fez is destroyed.
Which of these circles is your son? Can I just take the lowest one?
Yes, always the lowest.
I've only got myself on 35, dropping down to
32. Fuck!
Okay, well that's better than what this has, which has you at 30.
We regained sanity last time I played
events,
so I've got those
rubbed
out.
Okay, so...
Ooh, can we roll for luck?
32.
Yes, you should all roll for luck.
Yay! It's if we get over, we get more, isn't it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Is it 1d10 more?
Yes.
Oh, I don't get anything but old staff does. Old staff gets 5.
Nice.
5?
Curiosity gets 10.
Yeah.
Ooh. Bloody hell.
Speedy gets 5.
So I'm on 58 now, yeah?
Yep. Mm-hmm. What about all these little minis? Sadie's on the train. She's Sadie Terrence Mine, Henry's niece. She's just found out a load of stuff about her uncle she never knew. Assuming old staff told them everything.
Probably read it out. Excellent. Silence seems to have descended.
Well, Clarissa is also on the train. I think she's still slightly disturbed by the flayed man she saw when they went researching in the British Library.
I suspect.
The guy had a message in Turkish saying the skinless one will not be denied.
So how far back do we need to go and explain why we're on this train?
Just the direct why the hell you got on the train will probably do.
There's a train set.
It's been sold
to Mr. Henry Stanley a few days ago, and the paper this morning mentioned that he'd vanished, possibly by spontaneous human combustion. But the train set was found there. We decided to visit Stoke Newington to find out more.
Hooray!
This is because we went to Mr. Macriat's shop.
Which was somewhat broke into. Wasn't it? It was, yeah. And
yes.
This was the only non-Eastern curio-y thing that he'd ever sold. He bought it like 8 years ago and then sold it recently.
To Mr. Henry Stanley.
To Mr. Henry Stanley, who has just disappeared in a puff of smoke.
Okay.
So the guy that died 3 times, we went to his shop, the only thing unusual was the thing where the owner's just gone missing, and that's why we're going.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right!
However, maybe old staff wants to tell you all what he's just read in a book, but please be succinct. We have just recapped it all. Possibly tell Sadie.
This book is about the fence that murders people. Everybody died.
Wow.
Golly.
Apart from your uncle.
Good. I'd be misbreaking
out the always a little bit murder.
I suppose.
It was all a bit murdery. And then there was some murder.
That's not a very good sign for the future.
He has a thing about cats.
Well, he does wear a turban.
I suppose. I mean, he wears a turban a lot. Isn't that hat?
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, these people are putting the hats on to somehow drain people, and they're doing their kills them horribly. And your uncle was at one point wearing the hat being drained, and he may have been scarred by this, both mentally and physically, I'm sure.
The Cthulhu character, scarred by his experience, is surely not.
It's a very, very interesting. I wouldn't recommend it at all. I feel a bit funny, actually. I'm going to put this down now. I closed the book.
Really? You closed the book? Wow. I believe you were just pulling in to Stoke Newington. Stoke Newington is a shitty little town. I believe it's on the outskirts of London, so it hasn't taken you a massive amount of time to get there. And you step out of quite a plain-ish train station and sort of look around and try and get your bearings. But it's quite easy to see where you're supposed to go, because tied loosely to a telegraph pole nearby is a piece of paper reading, "See the death room, 6 pence. This way."
Oh, that looks like us.
you wander along, following these signs, until eventually you come to, well, it's quite a big house, but it's basically split up into bedsitters. On the door, well, outside on the pavement, is a large chalk sign, once again reading, "See the death room, 6 pence. Also, in the window, handwritten in the window, is "Room to Let."
That's one to go for then.
As you're coming up, a sort of big man with a fat red face sort of comes wandering out. Yes, I don't believe he burnt up, you know. And the other guy who's been sort of thin, greyish looking chap. Well, I don't know. It's very strange. Wander off down the road.
That's why we're here.
That was kind of the point of coming all the way to Stoke Newington.
Yes, it does sound rather thrilling anyway, doesn't it?
Okay. You go up and you knock on the door. And about 2 seconds later, this woman, she's got a face like a smacked... I couldn't say it. She's got a face like a smacked ass. She's got very firm looking chin. Hair is all in rollers. She's wearing a dressing gown. And she sort of stops like, yes! Are you here to see the death room?
Yes!
Sixpence each. Sixpence?
Okay.
Oh, it's ever so strange. And now I've got to warn you, anybody going inside, if you've got a weak constitution, I won't be held responsible. Oh, ever so strange, ever so strange. How did you hear about the death room?
We saw the sign.
I knew putting up the signs would be good. He was a quiet type, you know. They're all a bit odd, you know, quiet types. My husband was a quiet type. He was all like that, just like that. But anyway, are you coming in? Do you want to see a picture? Do you want to see a picture of Mr. Stanley? I've got a picture of Mr. Stanley.
Oh, I'd love to see a picture.
I've got pictures of all of my tenants. And she goes and gets you this black and white picture of sort of white hair, mutton choppy type chap. He's got white hair, but he doesn't look all that old. It's not like he's like really old. He just looks like one of those sort of people who's gone prematurely grey. Yes, you see. Oh yes, he came home before. Because he always came home before. He was very punctual. Quiet man, but very punctual. He was ever so excited. He purchased a train set. Oh, at his age. A train set. Would you believe it? No, I wouldn't believe it either, but no, he bought this train set, so up the stairs he went at 7, and I didn't see him again. But he couldn't have left. He couldn't have left, because I was sat in the sitting room, that's this room here, and she points at the sitting room, reading the latest issue of Silver Screen Star. Oh, did you see? Oh, that man, Valentino, isn't he dreaming? But anyway, I was sat there reading, and he couldn't have left. He couldn't have left because I was there all evening. And a bit later on, I heard him cry out and like rumbling. Knocked on his door straight away. Knock, knock, knock. But nobody answered. So I opened the door with my master key, and the room was full of smoke, and he was gone. Window was closed, bolted from the inside. Couldn't have gone out the back anyway. There's a big spiky bush underneath his window. Terrible.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, just disappeared. Burnt to a crisp.
So there was a body?
No, nothing. He must have burnt all the way up. I mean, it must have been hot, because when they did my husband, I still got a little bag of ash back. I put him in the garden. He liked his garden. Actually, I put him under the potting shed. He really loved his potting shed.
Golly.
I took the floor up and scattered him. Not Mr. Stanley, my husband. Obviously.
Well, no, if there was nothing left to scatter, you could have scattered him. That's... Golly, I don't really know what to say.
It's
astounding.
But yeah, he must have been all burnt up. It makes me feel quite queasy, because that smoke must have been him. Just tasted like smoke to me, but I might have missed a bit of Stanley in my lungs. Terrible. I can't understand where he could have gone to. He must have burnt all the way up.
It doesn't seem really seem decent, does it? I mean, people just go around
burning up other people's houses.
I mean,
he was paid up till the end of the week, but what am I to do? I need to get my rent in. I'm making some of it up by showing people the room, obviously.
Well, it's very sensible of you.
Do you want to see the room?
Yes, please.
If you follow me, it should lead you up the stairs. Now, I'll let you in. Mind you don't take anything.
Of course.
She opens the door. It's kind of a standard cold water bedsitter. Kind of speaks of a man who has a job that he does, and then he comes home and he sits in his room, probably reading the paper until it's time to go to sleep, and then he wakes up in the morning and he goes to work. There's a door in the east wall, which has come through, and a window in the west room. It's pretty obvious that this guy liked trains. There's books about trains, there's pictures of railways, there's pictures of engines, there's details of projects for trains, there's histories of trains, there's maps of train lines. There's even a little well-thumbed book with numbers of train engines in it. Make me some spotting hidden checks.
Old stuff makes it. I get a pass.
I get a pass.
Okay. Pretty much all of you notice, when you come in, that all of the uppermost items, like if there's a pile of books, the topmost one has got a layer of soot on it. Pretty thin layer of soot. Also, there's a dark, sooty streak on the roof running from the northwest to the southeast, which is weird because you don't see any like ashtrays or anything around. Also, along that roof, the roof has got like paper on it. It looks like the wallpaper's been lifted, like it's bubbled. You know, like if someone had had a kettle next to it and steamed it or something. Finally, whoever made it, could you make me an education check?
I half it.
Okay. Sadie gets it.
Stuff.
Both of you notice that although the carpet's dark, there are two long black lines on the carpet that run also from the northeast to the southwest, and they are exactly the same width as a train track.
Huh.
One thing that you do not see is a train set.
That's very interesting. When I read about this in the book about ancient Roman, I just thought about how train tracks got standardised several years ago.
Yes, that's very interesting. I'm going to go and make some tea. She wanders off.
That's actually true, actually.
Mm. I know.
Yep.
But Mrs. Atkins went cross-eyed and walked away.
Oh,
great. That's very interesting.
Yes, it really is interesting. What do you reckon about these marks? Is there, like a box or anything that this train set was supposed to come in?
You can't see anything like that. You can't see a train set or any paraphernalia for one.
If we look a bit closer at the books, do any of them look unusual?
Well, define unusual. They're all about trains.
Right.
Like, every last one is about trains. And some of them about how the network has grown over the past few years. Some of them are about engines and steam pressures and things like that.
But none about creepy ghostly vanishing?
Not that you can see, no.
Okay.
Creepy ghostly vanishing trains, none that high on the list.
Do you have a particular book out then?
No, not
look
really.
At his train set with.
Does he have a desk with anything on?
Yeah, his book of train numbers, a large plan of an A4. That's about it. In fact, I don't think an A4 would have been built yet. In which case, he's got a suggested plan for an A4.
Mm, wow. Suggested.
Advanced stuff.
Oh,
like 40. That's really advanced stuff then.
13
years in the future. Wow. Looking good.
Yeah.
If only he was around to patent it. Oh, spontaneous human combustion.
Oh. Right, so north.
North.
Northeast to
northwest.
Northwest to southeast.
Yeah, northwest to southeast. Both the soot on the roof, the lines of bubbly wallpaper, and the dark lines on the carpet.
Okay, so what is on the, are there any marks like on the landing?
Nope.
It's just in the room.
It's just in that one room.
So are the marks all the way from one side of the room to the other?
Yep.
What? Do they just stop when they reach the end of the room?
Well, they stop when they reach the wall.
Yeah.
The wall at that end has got particularly bubbly wallpaper. In fact, the wall at both ends of the tracks has got particularly bubbly wallpaper.
You can see what's on the other side of the wall on the inside of the house, if that makes sense.
Well,
can I go outside the room and see like the hallway or whatever?
On the southeast there's the landing, and on the northwest there's open air.
Yep, so on the landing side is that side probably as well.
On the inside of the wall, yes, on the outside of the wall, no.
But it's just in the ring.
Yep.
Right, so it's not like it's come through the wall or anything.
Nope.
Trains can't go through walls.
They also don't tend to appear in first floor bedrooms.
No, this is true. If you tap the wall, does it make a...
The internal wall's very thin, but the external wall is solid brick. And outside, well, you've got like the corner of next door's room and then open air.
Okay.
What's in the direction that the train, well, the tracks are going? As in geographically?
London? A whole load of things. I mean, if you draw a line, there's the street, then there's the buildings on the other side of the street, and then if you keep going that way, you get to London. Although you get to the west end of London, I think?
Mm.
I could find out if I actually go to the bother of pulling up a map and looking up Stoke Newington.
There's nothing obviously weird.
It doesn't lead to Stonehenge or anything like that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, nothing good about the direction it was going.
No,
what does this train set off?
You don't know. It also doesn't seem to be here.
It was something called a Wrightson Spectral Commission train set, apparently, according to the...
What?
Wrightson Spectral Commission? Assuming I can write my, I can read my own writing, which I don't know if I can.
I don't know if you can either. hang on, I'll see if I can find what I actually said to you.
That would help, because I've only got incongruous train sets. And there's some other notes that I don't think are on that.
Write some special commission.
Special!
Train set.
That's the word I got wrong.
Special. I think the fact that it was in a first floor bedroom made you think of spectral. From Stoke Newington, if you go southwest, the most interesting thing on that route is probably Buckingham Palace. Or Wimbledon Common, or Surbiton.
That's not that interesting, is it?
Or a whole load of places in the countryside, or possibly Guildford.
Oh dear.
If you keep going that way...
You're the ocean. It is an island.
Well...
It takes you a long, long way... Till you get to the Titchfield Haven National Nature Reserve, and then you're in the sea. Oh, and then you clip the Isle of Wight.
Whoops.
Well, apparently the just train the tip. Set, the train set had been bought from the estate of Randolph Alexis, who's involved in the policy things of some sort. So maybe I have to explain something.
Randolph Alexis, you had looked up. I will read you what you found about Randolph Alexis.
Is he killed in the train crash?
I believe
near Liverpool.
Bear with me a second, I will tell you. He was a cultist of some notoriety, with links to both the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn and the Hermetic Order of the Silver Twilight. He shared this interest with his son, Albert Alexis. Alexis Sr. died in a train derailment while travelling to Liverpool in 1897, whereas his son disappeared from home in 1917 with a few drops of dried blood, but... although somebody tried to burn his house.
So much house burning.
Well, they found a smoke from a room.
Somebody's house burnt down.
Yeah.
Anyway, so much house
burning. Smith's house burnt down, but supposedly Alexis Jr. disappeared from his house, believed murdered by person or persons unknown. A few drops of dried blood were found and the smoke.
I knew that was pretty
rude. Someone was trying to burn his house down.
Do you
think it'd be worth asking the landlady about
the toy train crash?
Is
she the one
that
told us about it?
You
ask for what happened to her?
Sounds good.
Okay. You wander downstairs and Mrs. Atkins is once again reading Silver Screen Stars. Oh, have you finished up there? You didn't take anything, did you? No? Good.
No, of course not. Excellent.
Good.
Of the trains myself, but I'm very curious about what's so special about the train track that caused a grown man's eyes. It's so bizarre for a man to grow
Yes, well, he was a quiet one, you know. They're all a bit strange, the quiet ones.
Is someone else taking it?
Oh no. Well, you see, it went with the police. Because it was the only thing that might have killed him, since it was electric, you know. So the police took it to check it, they said. But I think it must have shorted out and burnt into a crisp. Terrible.
Sure.
I did collect the money from you, didn't I? Yeah.
Yes.
So was there an electric in the house?
The house has got electric, yes. It's 1923, I think.
And
it was 1923, yes.
Yeah, it's 1923.
Because we went for dinner in 1922.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then yes. The talk was on the 1st of January, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's 1923.
Back upstairs.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of like blackening around the...
No, there's three plug sockets up there, which is quite a goodly number of plug sockets for a 1920s house, but none of them are blackened. Well, they're all black because they're baked light.
Well, yeah.
Would you expect none of them have been badly singed.
Would I expect there to be any kind of damage to it if it is?
Do you have electrical repair?
No.
Would you like to try and default on it?
Yeah.
Go on then. What is your default for electrical repair?
10%.
Go on then.
With a roll of 85, I don't think I'll bother using my...
Nah, that's alright.
Looks fine to me.
Well, it would probably have looked alright to you if there was a dead badger stuck in it.
Well, obviously badger power is excellent.
Yeah. I always use badger fusing myself. Shove a badger in there, plug in its bum, done. We do not support the torturing and murdering of badgers, which is why the Conservatives can go do one.
Moving on.
I thought I'd spread it around a bit. I've been slagging the Labour Party off earlier in a bit that the rest of you haven't heard, so I thought I'd spread it about a bit and have a go at Conservatives as well. Over to you lot.
Hey, I don't really have anything else I can... Could Mr. Wolfstash possibly doing a kind of a culty type role in the room to see if there's anything?
Yeah, make the roll. Oh, by the way, all those of you who rolled a successful spot hidden, if you haven't ticked it, tick it.
Oh, yay!
He doesn't.
He doesn't believe there's anything occult about trains, but he's willing to be persuaded.
Fair enough.
Train seems to be the suspicious element in this tale. I think maybe we should go and track it down.
Fuck me, she's turned into the captain. Don't think we've ever had Dr. Broomstick on here, have we?
We have. And I currently still have a hand that's an arm with a blooming fusty little plump on it.
Hello.
Nice.
One day. But anyway, so what are you doing?
I'm quite proud of my dad joke.
Oh, I've suddenly got what is going on there.
I still haven't, but I don't need you to explain it.
Oh, God.
Excuse me, I have to remove the headset so I can face calm.
Two-handed face
palm. I feel like my face is melting from a terrible, terrible joke. But anyway.
So is your plan to track this down with the police, or what?
Far ahead.
you just saw the joke and went for it.
Let's track it down! How? Oh, fuck.
I somehow doubt the police will actually let us... Well, we could see if we ask very nicely.
Yeah, is this going to involve money?
I don't know.
Don't some of you, I'm mostly looking at Archive, have a colossal credit rating?
No, you just want to look at... Well, it's 60.
Don't some of you...
It's better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
well,
a lot.
I have 60 as well.
Oh, okay.
Between us, we'll
I
just...
I have 40.
Proper stuff.
Who else has got 60 Wolfstash?
Clarissa.
Oh, Clarissa.
Old staff's got 40.
Yeah, old staff's not badly off.
Wool staff has got 20.
Yeah, because he's poor.
He's the pauper.
He's the poor magician.
Begone, pauper! Ha ha! But anyway.
So, I'm not sure it's right to bribe the police.
Yeah, but at the same time.
Into the other place. We could always have a word with them anyway and just see whether they'd be interested in telling us anything. If we just tell them that we're curious.
Does that ever work with people in authority? You're a teacher. Does that ever work? Because it never worked on mine.
It wouldn't work with me.
Is that? Yes. Don't speak too loudly. Well, look, if asking nicely doesn't work, we can always go with the other thing as well.
Bonging them cash. Or robbing the joint.
The person who owned the track previously, or have we just been sent here to check it out?
Didn't we just decide, ooh, let's go?
Yes, like we decided because you saw it in the paper.
We can go down that route.
Well, you'd seen it in the paper, and then you robbed Macriat's shop and found the ledger.
Oh, was it in that order? Okay.
Or it was the other way round.
Yeah.
But those two incidents were really close together.
Yes, we didn't go missing.
It may have been the same day.
The way I'm pushing it down, it sounds like we found it one evening and then we saw it in the paper the next morning.
Yeah.
But that might just be my writing down being a stranger.
I think according to my notes, we broke in, discovered an incongruous train set, and we discovered the train set had been sold to
you. May have actually gone to the newspaper and looked for the train set in the newspaper because it was incongruous and done a search on either the newspaper or the person who bought it off him. I can't actually remember because we did the whole of the Blood Red Fairs in the middle.
Yes, I just have it, the paper this morning mentioned.
Okay, well there we go then.
So, yeah. I think it was just in the paper. So we've just found out this band bought this train set. He's vanished. Let's go see.
My notes aren't that good. My engine crocodile named on Toby. That was the last thing I wrote.
That was a long time ago.
It was a while. I did lose my notepad for a little while.
Sorry, I was sort of sitting there going, crocodile named old Toby, what madness is this? And then I went, oh no, wait, it's the madness I invented for the first part. It is in fact my own madness.
You just don't recognise it.
I just don't recognise it coming at me out of the darkness.
I've worked out the connection. The what's it called? Newspaper headline says, man disappears in cloud of smoke, spontaneous human combustion. Linked to triple murders case?
Question mark.
Which is the triple murders case of Mermat Macriat.
Whose shop you robbed and then found the link to this train set.
And police have not ruled out a possibility of a link between, and it mentions the modern train set that might have started the fire.
Yeah, look at that.
It turns out Bloody did have all the notes in handout form.
Yep.
No,
we've got dogs barking. Although I have been up here, sleeping up here, when there have been foxes shagging outside, and fuck me, that noise is terrifying. I honestly thought somebody had taken a baby outside and was very slowly wringing its neck.
Well, happy
thoughts. Yes,
that's nice.
happy thoughts. But anyway, please continue.
So, I suppose we should probably leave this woman's house at some point.
Well, yeah.
Look at what we're doing next.
Probably without mentioning, like, bribing the police as we go.
Yes. We can mention that later.
I think we must.
Okay, so where are you going?
I'll just ask Mrs. Atkins as we leave. What, can you tell me exactly what he wants Mr. Staffy did, would it?
Oh, he was, some form of clerk of some description, I think. He might have worked for the railway companies even. But he wasn't a driver or an engineer or anything like that. I wouldn't have that dirty sort in here. No, he was an office worker in description.
What time of day is it?
About lunch.
Oh,
not quite. Just
time for lunch. Oh, don't go for lunch. You people do not go for lunch.
But it might meet some nice people there.
We might have a brainwave over a cup of tea.
Ooh.
Yes.
We missed the lemonsies.
You go and eat lunch. Now, what do you do?
Who sits where?
Oh,
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, where you sit nor what you eat.
Well, we could go to the police, perhaps. After lunch, they might need a more cheerful mood if they've just had that meal.
Awesome.
weren't there people following us earlier?
No.
I'm sure we were deciding to go on a long route because
I think we would, in case they followed us. This
was a while ago. You had gone to see Professor Smith.
Oh yes, Professor Smith.
Yeah, can I have a look around, see if anyone's suspicious?
Yeah, make me a spot hidden.
Yes, I will half that. Is there anybody following me suspicious?
No.
Apart from us.
Well, yes.
Well, you lot are all very suspicious, but yeah, no, there's nobody actually.
We don't look like we belong together as a group.
Surprise me. You two do. Technically speaking, Clarissa does, but then you've got Warshdash, who's talking to himself, and Old Staff, who's Old Staff.
Very respectable gentleman.
You're only 38.
A very respectable weird gentleman. But anyway.
I think the only lead we have at the moment
so charming and persuasive.
Oh, somebody's got a flag into this. Has anyone got fast talk?
No, I haven't.
Not much. Okay.
All staff has got bit.
He's got a bit more than I do.
Did they change him in fire or
he bought it from Macriat. Macriat bought it from the estate of what is this, the Munger?
Was Macriat the chap that was my rival?
No. Macriat is the chap who died 3 times in one night.
Oh, okay.
Technically, he was in the same business as you, but you'd never really run afoul of each other.
Okay. I'm sure I had a rival that I was looking into their acquisition.
I think that was probably Macriat, but he wasn't really your rival. You'd never really clashed.
Oh, okay then. Well, I can try going down that route, maybe.
Just see what they say about whether it's been impounded or not, or
where the
train set
will be going next, because I'm an interested buyer.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, it
seems like a good enough route to go down. It's better than bribing the police.
Well, you can tell you what, you go in with somebody and try that, and the rest of us will wait in the tea shop, and if it doesn't work, come back, and the rest of us will try bribing them. How's that
sound? Or you could maybe take someone with you who could, as part of the same thing,
do we have lots of cash to buy it with?
I have a reputation maintained, and it's one that's, needs to
be not some kind of driver. Okay, so who's in the first team going in?
Someone to make me look respectable.
Well, who isn't going to be needed for the bribing? Nobody's raising their hand, just so you know, old Porcupino.
I can pretend to be respectable. Well, you ish.
Respectable-ish. Okay, so you two head into the, police station. The duty sergeant is sat behind the desk. Hello, how can I help you?
He sounds like he has a really big beard.
He has quite a large beard. But a very bald head.
Like he's been touching someone. Close it up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can I help you?
Oh, hello, good day, sir. I'm wondering if you can help me. I'm interested in purchasing a train track. And unfortunately, I got tipped to the post in the bidding by a gentleman who's had some...
I see, sir. You're talking about Mr. Stanley, correct? I'm afraid that, we can't be having with that sort of thing.
With what sort of thing?
Well... I'm vaguely concerned, sir, that you're some kind of vulture.
Oh, no, not in the slightest. I have an antique store, you see.
Do you want to make me a fast up?
It's not fast talk, I'm actually telling the truth.
Persuade?
Yes, you would rather do persuasion.
Yeah. Is there anything for, like, to be genuine?
Not really.
Just passes.
Well, I suppose, sir, I can put you on to the sergeant who's dealing with the case, but, I don't think he's going to be able to help you any further. And he picks up one of those brass tubes and blows in it, and a couple of seconds later, there's a whistle back. Yes, I've got a gentleman at the front there who wants to talk to the duty sergeant from the stenographer. I'll send him through. You go through. And waves you through into the main room. And, this other sergeant stands up, still a uniformed sergeant, quite a beefy chap, got a navy tattoo on his right arm. Come along, sir. Why don't you two have a seat?
Thank you very much.
Well, I hear you're interested in the Stanley train set, is that right? Right, well, we did have the train sets and we checked it for electrical faults, but there were no electrical faults and, the voltage was insufficient to cause electrocution anyway. We passed it on for expert examination by the London Train Spotters Association. And they've had a look at it themselves and they say that it seems to be fine. I believe they've still got it. To be perfectly honest, sir, I think we'll probably find that Mr. Stanley has just faked his own disappearance for a little while. No doubt we shall learn his motivation for such a deception in the following weeks, but this sort of matter has a way of working itself out. I'm fairly certain he scarpered out the window.
But it does sound far more logical and reasonable and a spontaneous combustion, how unusual.
Well, I don't know if I should be discussing that sort of thing with a lady present. Could one or the other of you make a credit rating?
I fist my credit rating roll.
But on the basis that you look quite well to do, I would say to you that there was no evidence of a burnt human being in that room, nor anywhere nearby. There was no blood, there was no burnt human bones or any tissues, and there were no signs of violence. So I think it is most likely that he climbed very carefully out of the window, escaped over what I'm told is a very spiky bush, but looked a bit denuded of foliage to me, and escaped over the back fence, presumably to get away from his overbearing landlady, who quite frankly seems to be making quite a lot of money out of this man's disappearance, and therefore could indeed be in on the job.
Very cunning, officer.
Indeed, this is why I am a sergeant, sir.
Sergeant, apologies.
No, you are still okay to call me an officer. I am still an officer of the police. However, my rank is sergeant. If you had called me constable, I would have corrected you. But as it was, you called me officer, and therefore I am an officer.
That's jolly good, because I have been no offence at all.
Well, that's good, sir, because I could have arrested you for a breach of the peace had you done that.
Indeed.
Ha, ha, ha. He does actually say ha, 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 as opposed to actually laughing. Now then, sir, do you have any other questions?
Well, thank you. I wouldn't want to hold you up any further. It's been most helpful.
To be perfectly honest, sir, this is probably the least interesting case I actually have on my books at this time. A man who scarpers to avoid paying his rent is not really a fitting case for a police sergeant. Now,
what can you roll to see if someone's lying or not?
You would use psychology.
Okay.
Would you like to use psychology? Can I psychology?
You can both psychology. Yay.
You cannot psychology.
I really can't psychology.
You are both convinced that this man is an avatar of an Altagod.
I might have rolled 100.
You are actually convinced.
that this man is an avatar of an outer god.
Okay. Old staff hasn't gone quite that far.
Old staff, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time.
We should go. We should definitely go.
Yes, of course. If you need any further help, please don't hesitate to call.
Of course. We should leave.
And then you scurry out of the building.
Go quickly.
I love it when players do this. He must have had a reason. Why? Why did he tell us those things? Ah, oh, he's an avatar of an outer god. Oh, I fucked up a roll. I don't know, he's an avatar of an outer god.
He knows that there's more to this. I'm sure of it. But he just wants to throw us off. He wants us to believe that nothing happened, that there's nothing suspicious about it, clearly. We should keep an eye out for him.
He was just being cooperative.
No, I think we should keep an eye out for him, just in case.
Well, you do that, and you can join Warstaff in talking to himself in the corner. Shall we return to the cafe and have a cup of tea and discuss? I'm not sure. It was incredibly easy. I'm assuming I'm back in the tea shop and talking to everyone, sorry.
Hello! Hello, cup of tea!
It all went incredibly smoothly. I'm quite surprised. I think that's the easiest interrogation I've ever done.
Interrogation?
Well, it wasn't really an interrogation. You went in and you said to the dude, we'd like to know about the train set. And the dude said, go talk to the chap in charge. And the chap in charge thought it was pointless, so told you everything.
Everything, yes. It was,
you did also make a persuade roll and a credit rating roll, so.
Yes, it was most successful anyway. The train set has been taken and looked at by their electrical people, and they say they've seen no faults at all with it, and it's been passed on to the National...
The London Train Spotters Association.
London Train Spotters, yes. So they currently are in possession of the new train track, so...
He gave it to the President, Mr. Arthur Butter.
They haven't turned it on and caught fire yet, so I think maybe we should go and see them. If, of course, we're assuming that it's the train track that's causing the death. We may, in fact, just be hunting down a toy train.
Would I send you on a wild goose chase like that?
Yes.
We all know the answer to that one.
Or rather, would I allow you lot to chase a random thing like that?
Yes.
Ledge vampires.
We haven't got to that bit yet. Seriously.
The example stands.
If this... Horror on the Orient Express team goes off the rails like the last horror. Actually, it can't possibly do. You haven't already gone riding around London looking for Turks to beat up.
Give it time.
And losing testicles on iron railings, because that's what happened in the previous one.
We're only at, like, tea just after lunch.
Yeah, you haven't actually... You're 35 pages into this book.
How long is the book?
240.
There's a lot more stops for tea to come.
We'll have many glorious lunches and we should plan them all.
Fucking players. Seriously, fucking players. So anyway, what are you doing?
We're going to find the train people.
We should. What
day are we on?
We will go with, it's probably the 3rd or 4th of January? 5th of January, maybe?
Weekday, weekend?
Weekday. Let's go with... Let's look up the 1923 calendar.
I've got the date Wednesday the 3rd. Or for Smith Lecture, I think. I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, so if it was Wednesday the 3rd...
Yes, Wednesday the 3rd.
It is probably now Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday the 9th, because I think you're going on Friday the 12th.
Was the house burning down the day after the lecture, or...?
Yeah.
Right, that's the next meeting, so that's Thursday. Ooh. And then after that, so after we spoke to him, we went to feed the pigeons, okay. The foundation, and then spent the afternoon sorting out training while people went to the library. So that was all on Thursday. And then...
Friday was more books, and then breaking into Macriot's shop, I believe.
Was
that Friday
that
then?
That would make sense, probably.
So Saturday. So it might actually be Sunday. It might be.
No, it might be Saturday.
It might.
Because breaking in the Macriot shop, the next morning was when we saw the paper had vanished and we immediately got on the train.
Okay, well, it's Saturday the 6th then. Maybe Tuesday's when you're going?
No one's got a date, so we're going.
I seem to remember it was kind of quite open when we went.
Yeah, you could either. Well, you could go. Like every week on the same day, I think it is.
Oh, right. Well, we've sorted out tickets, I know that bit, but yeah. I have no idea what we sorted out.
I don't think we did.
I don't think we actually wrote down, we have done for this day.
No.
So.
No, but it's not like that. You just rock up and say, I'm off on, I'd like to go to Istanbul now, please. It departs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, so you'd be going probably on Wednesday. Or the Saturday following, because you're unlikely to be going Monday. Mm. Unless you fuck this bit up and you have to get out of London. You start a murderous spree. But anyway, so how are you finding the London Train Spotters Association?
How do societies tend to advertise themselves in this day and age?
The phone book? The yellow pages?
We can look in the yellow pages.
Yeah. It takes you a little while, because there's a remarkable number of train spotting associations. But the London Train Spotting Association, in particular, seems to be a residential home in Camberwell. But there is a phone number attached to it.
You would be a Mr. Arthur Butter.
Yes.
So, do you see there is or there isn't?
There is.
Okay, brilliant. Is there an address?
Yeah. Home in Camberwell.
Okay. What do you guys think? Should we just turn up and call stuff or should we call them in advance?
I don't know. It depends how likely they'd be. Be pleased to see us, I suppose.
Well, since you've expressed an interest in, like, train things.
It would rather make sense if you contacted them. Well, I suppose we've got to get back to London if we're going to turn up. How far away is Camberwell?
Let me consult the Book of Google.
Hooray! Because it's already Saturday lunchtime. We're going to turn up too late, we should probably.
You might be home too.
We're going to time it very carefully.
Join them.
By the looks of things, Camberwell is in the centre of London, south of Stoke Newington. If you get on the train, you can probably get there by early evening.
Maybe you can make an appointment for tomorrow then.
Tomorrow's Sunday though.
Mm. Well, people do visit each other on Sundays.
This is true.
He's more likely to be in on a Sunday.
Yeah, but it's working. That's an honest judgment.
It may be more appropriate, though, to phone first.
Perhaps we could call ahead now and ask when a good time to visit would be.
What an intelligent idea.
I know. I'm a player. So anyway, you locate a payphone and call the operator.
Well, I suspect Mr. Oldstaff is making the call after all he's the one with a particular interest in this train set.
Okay. You locate a phone booth and call the operator, who eventually puts you through to Camberwell.
Name again?
Mr. Arthur Butters. Sorry, Mr. Arthur Butter.
Arthur what then?
Butter!
As in bread and.
Yes.
Not trains and. Trains and butter! What? But anyway, the phone rings. It rings about 3 or 4 times before it gets picked up. Hello? Butter residence?
I assume the old staff isn't actually giving down the phone with phone fright.
Archive has cracked up completely and has gone the same colour as a beetroot and seems to be unable to breathe.
Okay.
But anyway, the phone rings, you picked it up. Butter residence? For fuck's sake! Hello? This is a prank fucking call!
I'm trying to find
We can't understand a word you're saying. Only dogs can hear you now. They're all dead. They're all giggling. They're all giggling their asses off. If I knew all I had to do to make people laugh was say butter residence, I'd have it tattooed on my forehead and rob banks with it. But anyway, you've called the butter residence.
Okay, good evening. My name is Oliver Oldstaff. Is this Arthur Butter?
Yes, I'm Arthur Butter. All I said was, yes, I'm Arthur Butter. Arthur. That's it.
Oh dear.
Don't fall unconscious, Nick. It would be most unfortunate. Anyway, get on with it.
I believe you're the head of London Train Spotting.
Yes, I'm the president of the London Train Spotting Association. Are you looking to join?
Possibly, actually. I am quite interested in trains, especially around the London area. However, I am calling regarding a particular matter, in fact.
Oh?
A few months ago, I was looking to acquire a London train set, and unfortunately, I got pipped to the post by another buyer. I've heard that the man has vanished quite spectacularly, though.
Oh, Mr. Stanley, yes.
Well, I
feel it's in rather bad taste to be bringing up trying to buy it, but go on.
Well, has it been donated then to the train?
The police
in safekeeping with you now.
Well, yes, the police asked me to examine it just to see if there was any problems with it.
I see.
I ran it once for a little while to satisfy the police. But it reminds me of Mr. Henry Stanley, so I don't really get any pleasure from it.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry for your loss. Were you close?
Well, he was a very good member of the association, quite quiet, but a solid man, very long-standing member as well.
Well, I do apologise for my insensitivity. I meant no offence at all. I'm afraid I got a little carried away in my enthusiasm.
Well, yes, that's understandable. It is a very beautiful set, although not in particularly good taste, obviously.
I do apologise. I actually run an antique store, and it caught my eye, and I'm afraid that I was quite keen to get it, and was quite sorrowful to lose the opportunity. Can I try charming him just in my apology? And...
Yeah, or you can do a credit rating.
Your charm is 60, your credit rating is 40.
Much more charming then. I am rich.
Unfortunately, you're not quite charming enough.
How much did she bail by?
Her charm is 60, got 82.
That would be 22 points of luck, or you could push the roll. If you push the roll and fuck it up, he will probably become angry with you and will refuse to see you.
And if I don't, I just don't charm him?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'll leave it for now then and just leave him uncharmed by me.
Mm. Well, I suppose if you wanted to see it, you could come over, but I don't know if I could actually let the item go. After all, it is technically Mr. Stanley's.
Of course. Did he have family at all?
I'm afraid I don't know.
I see.
We tend to stick mostly to talking about trains.
I see, of course. Yes, well, he's in the right place for that, I guess, yes.
But yes, if you'd like to call on me tomorrow... Say lunchtime?
That's wonderful, yes, it would be marvellous. So, be happy to join you.
Excellent.
Would you mind if I brought my associates with me?
Are they also interested in trains? Bring them along, the more the merrier.
Wonderful. I shall see you at lunchtime tomorrow then.
Excellent. I'll see you then. He puts the phone down, and at that point we will end. Sorry for the slightly foreshortened session. We had some technical issues in the beginning. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, the first session of The Doom Train. I'm probably going to have to stop telling you the chapter titles, because they do give something away. But thank you very much for listening. Please feel free to send us email at thecultureteamdice@gmail.com, and I will attempt to make sure that it doesn't archive your sodding emails before I actually get to see them. We're very sorry. We will get to that review of that thing that you sent us, dude that sent us things. You can talk to us at Mordrigan or at ArchiveCTD. You can also talk to us at Blooded Fox or at Cult of Tea and Dice. You can go to thecultoftandice.net and leave us iTunes reviews. Please leave us iTunes reviews. We could so do with iTunes reviews. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Bye!
Bye!
I can't find the stop key.